Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection. Tonight we're going to be in James chapter 4, verse 11 is where I'm going to begin. And we're going to continue our look on Wednesday night through James and his epistle to the scattered church. His epistle to the scattered church. And the words of strength and the words of encouragement that he gave, and that's what this epistle is. Yes, there is some correction in it. Yes, there is direction in it. And he put that in there because he knew that his congregation, because they had been moved and scattered away from him, he didn't have direct contact with them. And he had heard and he knew that things were going wrong in their lives and they were being misled and they were being deceived and they were failing and falling in their walk with God. And he wanted to bring them back. He may not have been able to stand in front of them, but he loved them and he wanted to bring them back. And I can understand that from a pastor's perspective tonight. So as we go into God's Word this evening, let's let it speak to our hearts. And let's let James and his situation and the love that he had for those people, the love that I have for you tonight, let's let it all speak to our hearts and let God move and have His way. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Now, we don't know exactly what was going on in Jerusalem and among the people that prompted James to include this in his letter. But when you sit down and look at it, and it doesn't take a great deal of analyzing, but it sounds like given the stress, and we were talking about problems that people were having and the stress that's in our community tonight, but given the stress that the church was under, being scattered and not being able to meet with their brothers and sisters and not being able to meet and have the pastor, have James speak to them and preach to them and teach them. You know, it was taking its toll on them. It was hurting them. And as people often do, when they find themselves in a stressful situation, they turn on one another instead of turning to one another. Now let's think about that in our own lives tonight. When we find stress in our work life, when we find stress in our family, when we find stress in our church, we are often tempted to turn on those that are right there with us, those that are right in front of us, those whom we really love and care dearly about. But we want to begin making an accusation. Or we want to go off and we're hurt. Or we're struggling with understanding something. And we choose words unwisely. And when we look at the passage, that's the first thing that comes into the passage is do not speak evil. It talks about words. Words are important. What we say, how we say it, and when we say it, all makes an impact on our life and on the lives of those that are around us. And for the child of God, the words, or the choice of our words, has an even greater significance. It has a greater and a deeper impact on the world around us and a deeper impact in the church that we attend, and a deeper impact in our families, and a deeper impact in our own lives. And if you spend any time online, you probably give some of that time to Facebook or Twitter or both, or some type of social media. There's a bunch of that stuff out there today. And if you really want to see folks mess up with their words, just go look and watch what's being said on social media. It's really, social media is the double-edged sword of communications today. You see, folks can get on social media and they can just blurt out anything they want to blurt out to anyone they want to blurt it out to, and they never have to worry about seeing that person. They never have to worry about standing face to face with that person. They never have to worry about being held accountable for anything they say, or so they think. So they use the whole idea of the First Amendment to say that I will just blurt out and say anything I want, and you can't stop because you're not here. I'm here in this state and you're in another state. We never have to see each other. But the impact of those words, they resonate forever. And they cause problems. They cause problems. They cause problems in people's lives. They cause problems in the lives of those who use them. And it's no different in our life, when we're looking at someone face to face and talking with them, if we don't choose our words wisely, and if we don't really think about the impact that those words are going to have on someone, then we don't understand what that's going to come back and reflect upon us. We don't realize and understand how badly it's going to make us look. And I will say this, there isn't a person in here tonight that hasn't said something or stated something or done something that they regretted and wished they could take back, because after they thought about it and after they calmed down a little bit, they realized that it didn't make them look very good and it caused a lot more damage than it did good. I'll say there's probably not one of us in here tonight that doesn't fit that bill. But that doesn't mean the world stops turning. That doesn't mean we have no recourse. That doesn't mean we've got no other alternatives. You see, we're going to see from this passage tonight, and we're going to understand from this God's Word tonight, that there are two types of words that we can choose. And we can learn and we can grow. Just because we make a mistake and we say something badly, or we choose the wrong words to say and to do something with, that doesn't mean it is an ending. It is actually an opportunity to make a beginning and an improvement. So I want you to see with me tonight that there is first a worldly speech. And that worldly speech is a destructive speech. It is words that have no good meaning. There's nothing good, nothing nice, nothing polite, nothing optimistic in them at all for anyone. And they destroy people in two ways. First, they discourage one another. I'm going to read you Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. These things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Three of those seven things that God hates are words. three of them are things that come from our mouth. A lying tongue, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. That last one is actually dealing with words. Stirring up trouble among the brethren. Those are things that God hates. Why? Because it takes His children, those whom He has created, and they may not be adopted children into the kingdom of God through salvation, but they may be those that are being worked on, the Holy Spirit may be working with. And when worldly words and worldly speech is given, and it comes out in the form of criticism or gossip or slander, it is nothing short of deadly. Because what it does is creates separation. It literally gives people the feeling and the understanding that they're not loved. Now, I'm not going to sit here tonight and try to tell you that we have to handle gently with kid gloves everything about everyone, but we do need to be respectful. God asks us to be respectful in our speech. Why? Because, remember, I've said this before, every one of us is a sinner. We're either a saved sinner or an unsaved sinner. In God's eyes, there is no difference in where we come from. So why do we feel like that suddenly and we have the opportunity all at once to make a judgment or to make a slander or make a gossip or make some type of divisive wording or speech or accusation against someone else when we're no different and no better than they are? Now that can get pretty heavy. So let me back up and instead of backing up, just let me stop and let me add this and interject this. I'm not in any way, shape, form, or fashion saying that you don't call out sin. Okay? Sin is sin. And God tells us to call it out. God hates sin. It doesn't matter what kind it is. If it's sin, then it needs to be called out as sin. But that doesn't mean you call it out with an intent of making an enemy out of someone. That doesn't mean you call it out with an intent of causing strife or causing heartache or causing division. God tells us to love the sinner. And God tells us if there is a child of God that has erred, and we're going to get into that with James just a little later, we're coming to it, but if God tells us there's a child of God that has erred and fallen away, instead of us getting all gossipy and slanderous and judgmental about where they're at and what kind of mess they've gotten themselves into, we need to be going to them and we need to be calling out the sin that's in their life and making them be aware of what's needed and necessary in repenting of it and moving forward. But we don't leave them there wallowing in that hog pen. We offer them a hand out of that hog pen. And we offer them a person without making yourself vulnerable to falling into that situation or some mess yourself. But you offer as much as you're capable of doing so to help that person out. Otherwise, we wind up using worldly speech to destroy someone. People are already destroyed spiritually. Jesus came to save. He didn't come to condemn. Why? Because we were condemned already. We were condemned already. You see, worldly speech is deadly in many ways. It will. But I'm not saying it can, I'm saying it will. It will kill a community. It will kill a church. Churches are closing down regularly. They're closing their doors, and the small congregations that are there are just walking away and scattering out. And often, that closing of those doors isn't necessary, but it happens because there is a division internally. And the congregation refuses to come together. They refuse to meet. They refuse to repent. They refuse to forgive. They refuse to love one another. They had much rather involve themselves in slander and gossip and criticism. And the end is the killing of the congregation, and it closes its doors. It will kill a family and a marriage. Criticism, gossip, and slander will destroy a family. It will destroy a marriage. There are no two people on the face of the earth that are perfect, no husband and wife. And if all we can do as husbands and wives and families with our children and with our parents is to point out failure after failure after failure after failure that has taken place, and never look at the progress and the good, and never give a vote of confidence, then we are using words that are going to be destructive. And they're going to kill that family off, and they're going to kill that marriage. Fathers, husbands, who have killed their family and killed their marriage because they have been so vile and so vulgar and so destructive in what they said. The same is true often, though not as often, but still is true about wives and women in a marriage who can be destructive in the choosing of their words as well. Not only can it be that emotional and that personal in our lives, but do you realize that worldly speech will also destroy a career? Many businesses have had to close because the owners were so destructive and so critical in their words and in the way they handled things. They had no people skills. And they wanted no people skills. People have lost their careers. They have been fired from jobs that have been very, very well compensated jobs. Jobs where they've had an opportunity to move and to go places, but because they couldn't choose their words correctly, because they chose a worldly language instead of a godly language, they wound up losing that job. And they wound up hurting their families, and they wound up denying their children of things that could have been. So worldly speech destroys in a individual way, from person to person. But do you realize worldly speech also dishonors God? We dishonor God by putting our law, our judgment, our convictions, our priorities, our decisions, our feelings above Him. When we destroy our neighbor, we make a determination. What we're saying is that it isn't necessary for us to love our neighbor. Because our words reveal that what our heart is, and our heart tells others that they're not worthy of our love. What comes out of the mouth, Jesus said, comes out of the heart. So what does that say then about us when we use worldly language? It says that our heart is vile. Our heart is vulgar. Our heart is angry. Our heart is bitter. Our heart is out of tune and out of touch with God. The Holy Spirit isn't speaking through us. The world is. The devil is. And that's a choice that we make. And we're dishonoring God when we're going down this road. And if you'll go back and if you'll remember the last time that you lost it, and you really went off on a rant, I know y'all may not have to worry about doing that, but I do. I have to worry about that. I have to struggle with it. After it happens, you have to back up and you have to worry about who heard what. And then the Holy Spirit says, why are you so concerned about who when God the Father heard it all? God the Father heard it all. And while the other party may have been and may have been at fault in stirring the issue, that doesn't resolve us of our guilt and our responsibility of being a part of it. Yes, it dishonors God because it destroys our witness. The child of God has got a witness to Jesus Christ. A child of God has a testimony of Jesus Christ. Is this the testimony that you want the world to hear? Is this the testimony that you want all of the people under your influence every day, regardless of whether it's two or three in the community or whether it's folks from around the world, you've got people in your influence every day. Is this the testimony of Christ that you want them to see? Is this the testimony of Christ that you want them to hear? Because when we lose it and we choose worldly words, that's what we do. We give a worldly vision of Christ. We give people no hope. We give people no opportunity to excel. No opportunity to come to Christ. We wind up pushing them away. But there's good news. Hold on now, we're not done tonight. Well, there's good news. Just as there is worldly speech, there is godly speech. And just as the worldly speech destroys in two ways, godly speech edifies in two ways that we see in our passage tonight. It edifies by encouraging one another. Verse 12 says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save. One lawgiver who is able to save. So are we ready to hear the good news tonight? While worldly language may get all of the attention, it certainly doesn't carry all the influence. Godly speech carries the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm not asking you to sanitize anybody's behavior, and I'm certainly not asking you to compromise in any word of God towards sin or the actions of anyone. I'm not trying to get you to ignore the offensive remarks that can be coming your way. But I am asking you to understand that according to God's Word, there is no one that can't be saved. And there is one lawgiver who is able to do that and who is able to grant that and who is able to reach the hearts of those who are full of anger and full of bitterness, full of those ugly words. So by encouraging others with love and compassion and not compromise, we can show them forgiveness. We can show them repentance. And we can show it to them in a way that is blessed and touched and moved by the Holy Spirit of God. And that carries an influence in their life. It may not be you carrying that influence, but it will be the Holy Spirit through you. And is that not what we're here for? To be that vessel, to be that mouthpiece, to be that influence of the Holy Spirit that says, hey, look where I was and what God brought me from. And look where God has brought me to today. And yes, He has blessed me. Yes, it has been a difficult road. Yes, it has been a tough road. But He has done this in my life and He can do it in your life too. Let me tell you how. Let me talk to you about how He can do that. That doesn't mean they're going to listen. It doesn't mean they're going to follow. But it does mean that you walk away having used the words of encouragement, the words of repentance, the words of forgiveness, the words of the love of God. And you've reached out to that. And if they push it away, then that's between them and God. But you walk away knowing that you have truthfully and honestly represented your Lord and your Savior. And you have used speech that edified the situation. Not only does it encourage someone, but it exalts God. So by encouraging others, we also exalt God. We also lift God up. By choosing our words to glorify and lift up Christ, we can be and should be that witness of holiness that the world needs to see today. When I turn the television on and I watch the news, and I hear the twisted stories about things. I see the violence going on around the world. I hear all of the rhetoric that's political on television. And I hear all of the foul languages in the movies and in the songs. And I see all of the scenes that are vile and ugly and everything like that. And there's no love in anything. It is all anti-God. The television shows that do have anything about God in them are usually making a mockery of Him and making fun of Him. That's what people are putting into their lives and into their families and into their homes. Are we going to add to that? Or are we going to show them there is a better way? Are we going to laugh and talk and joke and bring up and build up the whole worldly conversation and the worldly talk? Are we going to put in those words about Jesus? And how can we do that? I'm going to close with this tonight. Well, first of all, we can do it by what we take out of church is the positives of what God has done. And God has done a lot in the lives of people in church. God has done a lot in the church. When we walk out of the church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we ought to be able to walk out with something good on our lips about what God has done in the life of our church, in our life. We ought to be able to go to work in the morning and we ought to be able to say, you know, God really moved at church last night. And that doesn't mean people were cutting cartwheels up the middle of the church aisles or anything like that. But it means that when you came and you heard God's Word, that it spoke to you. It done something to you. It stirred something inside of you. When we prayed and when we asked God to move in the lives of other people, it done something inside of you that you felt like that. And you knew that God heard the pleas that were lifted up to Him. And you knew that God was going to move in them and work with them and work among them. And lives were going to be changed. And then we can take our love of God and we can take it home with our families, to our wives and our husbands. We can study and we can read God's Word. We can talk to others about what God has done in our homes with our children and with our grandchildren. We can talk about what they have, what He has done and how He has worked and moved. We can talk about what He has done in our personal lives. We can always find something to brag on God. Godly speech edifies in two ways. It encourages one another and it exalts and lifts up God and glorifies Him. And we can always find those things. It's easy to find that worldly stuff and it's just as easy to find the godly stuff. The place where we stand, all of us stand tonight, is we have to make a choice. Which one do we want? Which one are we going to be a representative of? The worldly speech or the godly speech? I vote for the godly speech tonight. And I believe you do too. I really believe that everybody in this church wants to lift up and glorify God. And wants to see God move forward in this community. I really believe that. And I believe that this passage of Scripture gives us all the encouragement to take the lead in doing that. Take the lead in doing it in our little areas of influence, wherever they may be. Because God and His words are there to encourage and lift up. Yes, there will be judgment. And yes, God will judge sin. And yes, God will judge those that do not repent and those that are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes, He will. Make no mistake, He will. But God will do that. God will. Not us. He wants us to be spreading that gospel. He wants us to be trying to win and reconcile. He wants us to be able to see people put together and loving one another, lifting Him up. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. And I believe that's what you want tonight as well.